sermon podcast of Dan Roschke, pastor of Bethlehem Lutheran Church in Fairfax, Virginia. For more information about Bethlehem, visit our website at blclife.org. But now, here's Pastor Dan and his sermon for today.
Friends in Christ, grace to you and peace from God who never leaves us. Amen. Let me start today by saying just a few things about all parables of Jesus. Parables are more like inspiring works of art and less like instructional manuals, okay? Interpretation of parables can be various and flexible. Having encountered a parable of Jesus, you breathe differently. They're inspiring. It affects how you breathe. You know, like you've had a rest. You breathe differently after a good rest. And depending on what's going on in your own life, like art, you know, you see different things in the parables of Jesus with each different season of our lives. The word itself, parable, comes from the Greek para, bole, para, like parallel, alongside. And bole is actually the word throw. It's the verb throw. And so it literally means to throw alongside. It's a lot like the sower in this parable for today. Jesus just tosses and tosses and tosses generously to see what takes root. Have you ever had that experience with your children or with someone at work or at church maybe, where you've been saying something over and over and over and over, maybe even for years, feeling like nothing's taken root? And then one day, that person you've been trying to get through to says something to you that they've heard someone else say maybe, or they thought they came up with maybe. It's almost word for word what you've been saying all along. What is that, right? I've been saying that forever, you're at least thinking. You might not choose to say that, but you're thinking, oh my goodness, I've been saying that all this. But they weren't in a place to hear it until they are, right? Not in a place to see it until we are. That's both parables in general, and it's a huge thrust of this parable, this particular parable from Matthew, the 13th chapter here today, about the different types of soil. And what can happen there, what God does there. Okay, here's what this parable is not about. It is not about some people are this type and some are that type and some are that type. Like if we broke ourselves here in the congregation into sections and like back in the corner here, you're the seed falls on rocky soil people. And over here, you're the fired up but shallow roots people. And over here, you're the good soil people. No, the truth is that we are each all of them at the very same time. In this heart of mine are all of these different types of soil. At different times and different seasons of our lives, we reflect the different soils, the different dynamics of growth and non-growth. Sometimes we're not ready at all to receive God's good and gracious and abundant word. Sometimes we're just too distracted or too self-occupied or too shallow. Other times we're primed and ready to hear and learn and grow and share. What season are you in right now? What's happening in these days for you? Are you receptive to God's grace? Are you resistant to it? Are you feeling distracted? That characterizes your soil. Are you open and excited on the surface, but the roots are really shallow? And very quickly, you know, those roots could, or that plant could die. I think the summer heat, this heavy humidity that we've been having, is a great time to reflect on these things. I don't know about you, but sluggish is the energy for me in this kind of oppressive climate. Slowing down. I mean, we're almost forced to. I think of our dog Ginsburg golden retriever, English golden retriever. Poor guy with his thick white coat these days. He has a whole different attitude on his normally beloved walks. Lately, these hot days, he just sits down. I mean, we're barely out of the house. He just sits down, sometimes even lays down in the middle of the sidewalk, asking us with his big dark eyes, can we please go back home now? You know, I mean, if you force him, he'll keep going. If you pull him, he'll keep going. But if you do turn around, you know what he wants. He darts back to the house, and then he flops over on his side in front of the AC vent. Is that lazy? I don't know. Sluggish heat, for sure. But also, as we think about ourselves here, that image of Ginsberg just flopped over on the floor, hot outside, a little bit of air conditioning inside. Maybe it's a moment for growth this season that we're in. That's the invitation anyway in this deep in summer day. Are you receptive to God's grace, or resistant, or ignorant, even rejecting? Open and excited on the surface, but your roots are shallow. Or is this a good soil moment? It's really interesting how most of the seed that's sown does not take root in this parable. I mean, in the story that Jesus tells, only a fourth of the seed takes root. I mean, there's four different examples of seed being thrown, and only one does it take root in the good soil. Part of that, can we just acknowledge, is that the sower is kind of a terrible farmer. Right? Seems wasteful even, just throwing seed everywhere. There's no nurturing, there's no prepping the soil, there's no strategizing. There's no programming, you know, just seed, just toss. I mean, why would you just throw seed on rocky ground, really? Or where you know thorny plants are going to choke it out, or where the birds are going to come and eat it, or where the sun is just pounding down. What a waste, right? If God is the sower here in the parable, then our God is a terrible farmer. A prodigal farmer. That word prodigal, just wasteful, just recklessly tossing. Yeah, that's exactly right. So there's that. But sometimes it does grow. Sometimes it survives. It thrives, even in rocky soil or in the unlikeliest of places. I think that's part of the lesson in this piece of art, this parable for today. Maybe a fun exercise this week as you're out, if you do venture out to go walking around in this heat, look for green growth in unlikely places. I had this, at our house, a fun thing's happened where a tomato plant has actually taken root and grown in a sidewalk crack right by our front door in the driveway. It is... It's been kind of a fun thing for us. I mean, I've planted tomato plants before. I even put the little tomato plant brace, you know, there ready for the plant to come up as I've designed and grow. And I try to water it, and it's like, I don't see it. I don't know what I did wrong, but I don't see it. But meanwhile, here in this crack by the front door, I mean, not only is it an unlikely place, it's a kind of an inconvenient place, but we've let it go. And it's growing. Sometimes it grows. Sometimes it survives. Sometimes it thrives even more. That could be one lesson here, part of the lesson anyway. But even more, it's that God is always finding us, always tossing grace, peace, love, generosity, forgiveness, hope, joy our way. Always. Most of the time, 3/4 of the time, according to this parable, it doesn't take root because we're so busy and distracted by many things. But that doesn't change the fact that God is showering. God is sowing us with grace. We had a traveling prayer service in our synod this week. And I know we advertised that. A few of us went, and I didn't know what to expect. A traveling prayer service? What is that? The synod, the bishop, she grew up Pentecostal. And I knew that. I knew it was, okay, it's going to have a little twist here for us Lutherans, you know. It's going to be different. And she said at the beginning, it was really wonderful, first of all. We're going to host it here at Bethlehem in November. She said at the beginning, just to kind of prep us, she said, you know, we really take prayer for granted. And what we're going to do tonight is pray together. We're going to pray quietly in the same space together. And we did that for about 15 minutes. And then we gathered in a circle after hearing some scripture and a little reflection. Then we gathered in a circle and prayed aloud. People made prayer petitions. It was really powerful and sort of flew in the face of those all the things that are drawing us. You know, I was like, well, what are we producing here? What are we doing here? There was no bulletin. There's no worship. There's no order. She said, this is not scripted. It was a stretch for me, I have to confess. Most of the time, this kind of stuff doesn't take root, but that doesn't change the fact that God is showering us, sowing us with grace. We're a field of all kinds of soil, each of us and all of us together. We are. It's important to remember that Matthew was writing not to individuals to encourage them each to be better Christians or to make themselves better soil. Rather, Matthew is written to the whole early church, to a collective, to a group, to a community that is trying to be faithful. This is about being church, actually, this good soil text. What does this good soil text mean for the church, for Bethlehem, for the wider partnerships that we share with other Lutheran congregations, with the whole Christian family? How do we as church get distracted and busy with many things and miss the love and grace that is constantly showering down on us like seed, or like Isaiah said in the first lesson, like the rain? Rain's been falling on us this past week. I've been reading a book just this last week. I just ripped right through it because it looked so fascinating. It's entitled When Church Stops Working. You get the double meaning there. When Church Stops Working, A Future for Your Congregation Beyond More Money, Programs, and Innovation. It's written by an author whose last name, interestingly, is Root, Andrew Root, and Blair Bertrand. It's about waiting and watching. It's not much of a spoiler alert there, but it's about waiting and watching. What does it mean to be church? It means wait and watch. Sort of flies in the face of a lot of other ideas of what it means to be church or what the church has been up to in the last century. I don't know. Are there things that we can do as church to receive God's abundance better? What needs to be turned and cleared out, de-rocked, so that God's joy can take root and grow in us and in everything we do and everything we are? How might the forgiveness we have freely been offered again and again seep down and stay with us, shape us, and then bear fruit in us? Sometimes I think we blow off God's grace like a compliment. Have you ever gotten a compliment and blown it off? Deflected it or countered it, or you know, you're trying to be humble, but you're not even really hearing what the person's trying to say. Maybe even took some guts for them to say it to you. Maybe that's another way you can live into this text this week. Intentionally compliment a few people this week. Like, not just you're good at that, but be specific. Do that. And also, if you receive a compliment, pay attention not to blow it off. Receive it. Let it sink in. Even if that's wildly uncomfortable for you, or you've been taught at some level not to accept that or to deflect, maybe that's like grace. Like the seed of God's word taking root and growing. Bottom line friends in Christ. Bottom line of this piece of art. Bottom line is abundance and multiplication. God gives to us so abundantly, and we in turn multiply that abundance in the fruit that we bear, the generosity that we share. Sometimes 100-fold, sometimes 60, sometimes 30. Just depends. And in a way, that's got nothing to do with us. It's just a natural outgrowth of God's love, the fruits of generosity and grace. That divine grace is yours this new day. It might take root and grow, and it might not. But it's most certainly, friends, being offered to you, to us, being tossed your way. And you know, God is not such a terrible farmer. Because the sacraments, you know, the holy meal, the holy water, and the holy community, the holy word, all of these things nurture us. They turn us, they fill us, they grow us, and they send us out. It's all grace. It's all amazing. Love has found you this day and will never, never leave you. Let's take some silence and make some room for prayer now. Amen.
On behalf of all of us at Bethlehem Lutheran Church, thank you for listening. Check us out again soon. And to learn more about our national church body, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, visit elca.org. Goodbye for now, and remember, God's outpouring of grace and peace never runs dry. Here's to a new day. The evangelical. That was terrible. To learn more about our national church body.
Start over.
Okay.
Is that hard?
No, not really.
Pretty easy?
Yeah.
You're good at it.